The Coffee Break Liberty Podcast, Episode 20. Welcome back, everybody, to the Coffee Break Liberty Podcast. Sorry that I missed you all last week. I had an event over the weekend, and I just did not have time to record the podcast. But this week, I'm back, and I'm glad that you are with us. And when I say us, of course, I'm talking about me, myself, Leo Sowers, and the Liberty Dog himself, Gino, who isn't even in the room right now. He's sleeping in another room. I think he's tired of these podcasts, but that's all right. He defends liberty wherever he goes. Before we jump into this week's topics, I want to remind you guys about the Coffee Break Liberty store at coffeebreakliberty.com. So if you go to coffeebreakliberty.com, in the upper portion of the page, there is a tab for the store. And I want you to click on that tab and you are going to see the best mugs. I have so many mugs for sale. You're going to love it. Got mugs, got t-shirts, laptop cases, phone cases, stickers, a whole bunch of stuff with the Coffee Break Liberty logo on them and other like libertarian-esque and anarchist logos and symbols and quotes and things like that. So I want you to go check it out. But when you go to coffeebreakliberty.com, you should wait around for about 10 to 15 seconds. And when you do, a little prompt will come up asking you to sign up for the newsletter. And I'm telling you, sign up for the newsletter because one, I don't send out a newsletter. So you ain't got to worry about getting, you know, a lot of spam from me in your inbox. It just ain't happening. And two, you're going to get a discount code for 10% off of your first Coffee Break Liberty store purchase. So I want you to go check it out. Go to coffeebreakliberty.com, sign up for that newsletter, check out the store, and get yourself a mug. The first thing I wanted to talk about this week, guys, is the speech that Joe Biden gave earlier this week on gun control. Because this is one of his things that he gets all hyped up about. You know, it's the same arguments we've heard time and time again from this group. These people that want to strip us of our rights to defend ourselves. Oh, you don't need a gun to hunt deer. Well, that's not why the Second Amendment is there. That's not why I don't hunt at all. You're right, I don't need a gun to hunt deer because I don't even hunt. Or, you know, they say, you don't need a 30-round magazine. It's not for hunting. That's not why I have a 30-round magazine. That's not why I have several 30-round magazines, you know? It's the same arguments. The other one is, oh, well, this was the good one, he said. You know, to take on the U.S. government, you would need F-15s and nuclear weapons. All right, bet. If your reasoning that I don't need a firearm is because you're threatening to murder me, then yeah, I probably need a firearm. These people don't get it. They don't understand. And then, the other side of that argument is too, right? Hey, you don't need a firearm to take on you can't take on the federal government because it's too powerful. It's too mean and scary. You can't take it on. The military is it's too strong. You don't need a firearm for that. You shouldn't have an M16 or an M4 or whatever because they don't know what the heck they're talking about. An AR-15 is what they call them all. You don't need one of those because you can't take on the government with that. It's pointless. And then they turn around and say, yeah, you don't need one because they're clearly too dangerous and it's a military-style weapon. Well, it can't be both. It can't be both. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here, right? This is the arguments we've heard and seen time and time again. But they just keep peddling them, thinking that it's going to resonate. It's not going to resonate with us. Sadly, it does resonate with some people. That argument, those arguments, or lack thereof, those nonsensical arguments, they don't make any sense, right? They don't work for most people, for logical people, but for people that are driven solely, or mostly at least, by their emotions, that don't sit down and think about, you know, the statements being said, those arguments might work for those people. They probably do, right? You know, they wouldn't use propaganda if it didn't work. They wouldn't say this stuff if they didn't think it would work. Like I said, though, to us, you know, those that own firearms, we see right through the BS. We get it. We understand that this is not about hunting. This is about protection from a tyrannical government. The same government where the president just threatened to nuke me and you, all of us. I mean, that's what he's saying. Hey, if you wanna take on the federal government, you need nukes and an F-15. Well, that sounds like a threat, bud. What's going on here? What kind of society? What dystopian future are we in now? Right, we're in one where if you speak out against the government, you're going to be put on a list, and now you have the leader, of the free world, Joe Biden, threatening to harm American citizens. So though that was in the speech, right? And then you kind of go on to his attorney general, Garland, and what he was talking about. So Garland had a little follow-up, and not a lot of people paid attention to it, and it's just a joke. Garland says, goes on to say how he's, you know, how as attorney general, he's going to, you know, battle gun violence. And they're going to do exactly what they've already been doing. They're going to punish FFLs, you know, gun dealers that violate the rules. Well, they already do that. That's not anything new. He just says it, though. Like, he says it as if people are going to, you know, have they not been punishing gun stores that are violating the rules? I'm done. You want the ATF to go to your store? You know, if you're a gun dealer, violate a rule. You'll meet your ATF agent, you know, in your area real quick if you haven't met him already, which you should have if you're a gun dealer. It's ridiculous. Garland's arguments they're absurd, right? It's just, he's telling you that he's going to do what he's already doing, what the Justice Department is already doing, right? It's like a cop that's sitting on a corner, you know, trying to hand out parking tickets. And then you ask him what he's doing. He's like, well, I'm just going to hand out more parking tickets. Well, there's not going to be any more cars. So what are you talking about, man? Like, there's not any more parking spaces to violate. So how are you going to hand out more? It's nonsensical. It just sounds good to people that don't think about this stuff. They don't know what's going on. One of the things he said, we're going to crack down on gun dealers that don't allow the ATF to do inspections. If you own a gun store, you have to allow the ATF to do inspections. That's part of the rules. I don't agree with them, but that is part of the law. That's the law. And if you don't, you get punished already. You don't need to say it again. It's ridiculous. These guys are a lot of talk. And they don't even know what they're saying half the time. Or they, you know, maybe they do. You know, there's the argument, right? Some people say, oh, they're just dumb and goofy and they don't know what they're saying or they don't know what they're talking about. But if they were that dumb and goofy or something, they'd at least get it right every once in a while. That's why I believe this is all done in malice. You know, this is all done in an attempt to harm people. This is done with evil intentions. Because if it was all mistakes and they were just dumb and fumbling around, they'd get it right every once in a while, but they never get it right. They never get it right. The one thing they do seem to get right constantly is threatening Americans, stripping Americans of their rights, and harming them. They get that right all the time. All the time. The highest prison population, percentage-wise, in the world is the United States. Somehow, the land of the free has the highest percentage prison population. And how many of them are in there for nonviolent crimes? You have people serving life sentences, you know, for selling an illegal substance. And I just got a comment in the Instagram live feed, you know, and the comment reads, I'm convinced they know exactly what they're saying, and they're saying the things that their people will listen to and believe to get their agenda accomplished. I couldn't agree more. You know, it's, they don't even have to agree with what they're saying, though. These people, right? The base, they don't have to agree because they don't know what they're saying. You look at these new regulations, go read laws that are written. They're written by lawyers for a reason, so nobody else can understand them. Right? That's why the Bill of Rights was written in plain English, and most amendments are to the Constitution. But laws, all these laws that get passed, my goodness, they're absurd. They're very difficult to understand, most of them, on purpose. I digress, though. It's the point was that these people, it's a plan. They know what they're doing. This isn't done by mistake. And I'm now convinced that they've designed it to where enough people don't know how to navigate this stuff. I mean, it's difficult. It's difficult to navigate what you're being told. I mean, if you turn on the TV and try to get your news from the TV, I'm telling you right now, you're being lied to. You're being lied to. You're being misinformed on purpose. And I'm not saying, oh, this one does it more than the other one. They all do it. They all do it. You just have to be aware of it. You have to navigate through this BS. And it's difficult. It's very difficult. There are people that I respect greatly that have a hard time doing it. Dan Carlin, another podcaster, not that I'm hardly a podcaster. Dan Carlin is one of the OG podcasters. He tried to start this stuff in the 90s, but that's beside the point. But Dan Carlin's been doing political radio and political thought and stuff like that since the 90s. I respect him very much. I don't always agree with him, but I respect him very much. And he admits it himself. He says, I have a hard time with it. If I have a hard time with it, and this is his job, you know, I'm speaking from him, but, you know, he says if he has a hard time with it and that's his job, he can't imagine just somebody that, you know, it's not their job. You know, they're just trying to get 10 minutes of the news every day or, you know, read an article or two on what's going on in the world so they can stay informed at the water cooler at lunch at the office, right? It's by design. So once again, that drum that I always beat around here is it's the ruling class looking down upon us and this time threatening us. Jim Crow Joe Biden. he just came out, you know, and he said, hey, yeah, you want to take us on? You need F-15s and nukes. All right, bet, man, bet. They're going to keep pushing, and it's not going to go the way they want. It's not going to go the way they think. I mean, just last month, finally, at the beginning of this month, end of last month, they took the National Guard troops away from Capitol Hill. But they didn't give them ammo. They didn't give them ammo for a reason, because they're worried about them. They're worried about them the same reason that the kings and queens and all the royalty in Europe for centuries was worried about having a citizen army. We're going down memory lane here in history, a little history lesson here. But France was the first one, really, to have a citizen army, and it blew everybody's mind. France had their revolution, and then they didn't have a king. They had, you know, an emperor kind of situation, and it was a whole mess. But these other kings and the royal and all the royals in the rest of Europe, they thought that was insane. You don't arm the citizenry. You don't arm them, because they can revolt, and that's exactly what happened. You know, that there's a reason they didn't give ammo to these National Guard troops at the Capitol. There was 30,000 of them at one time. 30,000. They didn't have ammo. Or if some, maybe some did, but most did not. They know they've messed up. I don't know how they plan to crawl it back and walk it back. They've got some plan, I'm sure. But as Michael Malice says, you know, Trump was the damn. You know, people, a lot of them, I'm quoting Michael Malice essentially or paraphrasing, but a lot of people, you know, they think Trump was crossing the Rubicon. And I think Michael Malice was right. He was the dam holding him back. And now it's broke. This is not a black-pilled moment. This is just the fact of the matter, right? It's a change in the political landscape and how, you know, how Americans deal with each other and how Americans deal with politicians. President Biden, I mean, it's not really him, but, you know, he can post something on Twitter, and then you can comment on there the most heinous thing, tell him to suck your what, and tell him to eat a pile of this, that, and the other. And you can do that on Twitter, on Facebook, all of it. I'm not saying it's the nicest thing or whatever. I'm not saying go do that, but hey, if that's your thing to go yell at a bot on Twitter, then go do it. But the way Americans have, you know, for the past 15-ish years have been dealing with each other is through this not anonymous protection where you have like on 4chan or 8chan, but this protection of, hey, I can say what I want online and what's the worst they're going to do? I can go pretty radical and the worst they're going to do is delete my account and I can start a new one tomorrow. So this ruling class, that they're not advancing fast enough. They don't know how to deal with this. They don't know how to respond to this. So they're going to respond with the ways they know how, right? Which aren't very good, but they're not effective either. Biden's going to try and go up there and he's going to speak the language that he thinks people that own guns will like, you know, because people that a lot of Americans that own firearms, they wrap themselves in the Second Amendment, right? They use that language. They use the language of the Constitution. So the other day when he's up there talking about it, he says, well, the Second Amendment, you know, that Second Amendment, it always had a restriction on how many, on the type of weapons and guns you could own. Okay, first of all, no, it didn't. The Second Amendment restricts the government, you lying sack of you know what. But they're trying to use the language that gun owners would appeal to. And then he's just lying to people that, you know, so that some people will have an argument. They think, oh, well, President Biden said that, you know, the Second Amendment was always a restriction. Okay, where in that is there a restriction on the firearms, you know? But somebody that doesn't know, that thinks they're now informed because they listen to Biden. Imagine that. There are people out there who think they are now informed because they listened to a president. My goodness. You listen to a politician and you now think you're informed? Yeah, another thing coming. Go read a book. I know I got off the rails a little bit there and this is running a lot longer than I thought it was going to. But it's something that is, they're coming. They're trying to. David Chipman's vote was supposed to happen last week. It got kicked to this week. Now it looks like it's going to get kicked to next week. Oh, July 4th. How nice. But they go on summer break here, I think, in a month or a few weeks. They may wait. Or they may try something a little shady. It wouldn't be the first time. We'll see about that. What I've got now in my head is that they'll wait till so many people are on vacation or left a day early for vacation, and then they'll just ram him through or something. We'll see, though. But they're trying. They're trying to come for your means to defend yourself. And they're threatening you with nuclear weapons. So the next time your dumb neighbor says, oh, yeah, you need an F-15 or nukes. Yeah, you're my neighbor, and he just threatened to nuke me. You don't think that's going to impact you? It's just dumb. These people appeal to emotion because they can't appeal to logic. They can't appeal to reasoning. And it's effective. If it wasn't effective, they wouldn't do it. It is effective. So all I can say is, you know, keep your head on a swivel. Keep an eye out for it. But we're going to win this. It's going to be a fight, but we're going to win this. The second and final topic I wanted to talk about this week is one that it relates to a book. Hopefully a lot of you have read it, Atlas Shrugged by Ayn Rand. I haven't read it in a while, but I've just been thinking about Francisco D'Anconia's stance and response to the looters, the bandits, and the thieves. I've kind of used a lot of his mentality before in my own arguments and my own defense of some of the things that I do in my personal life. In short, if you haven't read the book and you want to read the book, you may want to turn this off right now because there will probably be some spoilers. But if you don't care or you just want to, you know, go down memory lane or whatever, you read the book and you want to hear what my thoughts on it, I'm going to talk about my favorite character, Francisco D'Anconia. And I'm going to call him Francisco because I always screw up his last name from here on out. So for those that, you know, read the book and remember, you know, he had the copper mines. He had family-run business, all this, that, and the other. And he was a prodigy, okay? You know, it was a family-run business, generations, and he was the next one in line. He was essentially royalty. I can't remember. I think he was supposed to be from Mexico or some country in South south of the border, some country south of the border. Doesn't matter. Could have been all made up countries. But his mentality when the looters, the bandits, and the thieves, right, the government and the crony capitalists started coming for his business, started trying to strip him away, strip his power away, strip his business away, his wealth, his production, what he was producing. When they tried to take that away, he gave him the middle finger and destroyed it for him. Said, nope, you're not getting any of this. And he ruined it. And it was amazing, right? If you've read the book, you know, it got really, really crazy, right? He blows up. Well, he doesn't blow up, but did he blow up the mine? See, it's been so long, I don't recall. But in essence, the idea is, you know, these people, these looters and all this, they're gonna come and try to strip you of what you got, what you've made of yourself. They're going to try and take your wealth. They're going to try and take your means of production. They're going to try and take everything you've produced and use it for them and distribute it to people that, you know, maybe they deserve, if you think they deserve it, whatever, that's on you. That's a different topic, right? But they're going to try and strip it away from you. They're going to strip away your labor and give it to others. And Francisco, in this book, he says, all right, I'll play this game. I'll destroy everything I have so you have nothing left to get. And in the process of destroying some of his assets, it makes the ship sink faster because they were latched onto it. They were latched onto his means of, you know, his copper mines was one of it, and businesses and part of it too. But, you know, because they were strapped to the, you know, they latched themselves to these copper mines and they were going to take so much and take so much. And then he destroyed them. You know, they'd invested all of their efforts, which wasn't much, but, you know, all of their thieving efforts into taking from this one man, and then he destroyed what they were trying to take. That's the mentality that I think can get a lot of people through what's coming, right? We all know what they're trying to do. We all know that they're going to come for more of our wealth, more of our production, more of our health and our sanity and our well-being. And for me, all right, you want at it? Fine. I'll set it on fire. Maybe while you're inside it too. Maybe while you're messing around with it, I'll set it on fire so your hands get burnt. You know, these people, they want to steal everything from us. These rulers and these looters and bandits and thieves, right? They want to steal from you and I. All right, go ahead and steal some stuff that doesn't work. And I'll make sure it doesn't work by the time it gets to you. I know going a little bit off the rails there, but it's been a defense for what I do with my job, and it's a way that I view what I do personally as a way to quicken the demise and the, I don't want to say collapse, but definitely the falling back of the empire, right? The slowdown of the empire. Maybe eventually it will reel itself in. You know, like, for example, they wanted to print $11 trillion. Well, they did. They printed $11 trillion in 2020. The Fed and the Treasury, $11 trillion. You know what? Screw it. I wish they would have printed twice that. Because they're not going to stop. So just speed it up. They're going to ruin it anyways. Help them sometimes, right? There's kind of that mentality. You know what? Because the quicker we get through whatever mess they're making, we're all going to have to go through it, so let's speed it up. Let's get it done. Because you, me, I, the people listening to this podcast, we're going to be fine. We're going to make it through on the other side, and we're going to be better on the other side. Those that wanted to print $11, $20, $50 trillion, whatever, they're going to be the ones hurting because they don't know what else to do. We're going to be fine. You guys want to tax everybody more? You want to increase the taxes more? Good. Do it. Do it. Put more people into poverty. Put more people, you know, harm more people. Have the government harm more people and see how fast that stops. right? Start harming more poor people. See how fast that comes to an end. And it won't come to an end at a ballot box. I promise you that. It will not end at a ballot box. These people, they don't get it. This ruling class, they don't understand it. You know, when you got people like Jim Crow Joe Biden up there and Dianne Feinstein, both, you know, pushing 80. I think Feinstein might be 80. You know, they're out of touch with reality. Feinstein is a billionaire. She is out of touch with reality. She has no idea what lives you and I lead. She doesn't. And I don't blame her for that. I don't say, oh, she's evil for not knowing. I don't know. Hey, why would she? She's a billionaire and she's old. You know, she doesn't understand it. That's fine. But she shouldn't be a ruler, right? She shouldn't be in charge of, have so much power over people's lives. But she does. Because this is the system that people latch themselves onto, right? They love the words democracy, even though this is a republic and democracy is a form of, is a way to form that republic, but that's, okay. I know, words. But like this ruling class, you know, and it's especially like this new wave of, I don't know, the boogeyman, socialism, right? But whatever you want to call it, right? As Ayn Rand called them, the bandits, the looters, and the thieves. It's these people. They're coming for what we have. They want, and that's why they're trying to disarm us first, because they know that's the way to do it. Thankfully, I think they'll lose that fight, so they'll have to try another way. But it's just something to keep in mind. You know, we get all sad. Everybody's like, oh, they're taxing me more. They're going to take more and more and more of my stuff away. I'm just suggesting another way to look at it. Let them. Let them get, you know, they want to take my house. Come on in the house. Come on in the house. I know how to burn it down. I will burn it down right in front of them. Come take this house. You want to take all my wealth? You want to take all my money? I'll burn that too. I'll do, you know. I don't want to see the world burn, but I want to see the looks on their faces when they don't understand what you and I are doing. Because they wouldn't get it. They would never understand it. Because they can't fathom a world where, you know, oh, you're burning a dollar? Yeah, I'm burning a dollar because it's useless. They don't get it. And then when that moment comes, you know, you, myself, all the people listening to this podcast, all the people with the right mindset, we'll rebuild together. They'll be on the outside, not knowing what to do, banging rocks against each other. Don't care. They're done. They've been trying to hurt you and I for decades, centuries in some places. We'll just rebuild without them. We don't need them. Don't want them. All right, y'all. With that, I'm going to wrap up the show for this week. And before I sign off, I want to remind you all of the affiliate program that I am a part of. So if you go to coffeebreakliberty.com, and in the upper portion of the page, there is an affiliate tab. I want you to click on that tab. There's a little write-up telling you what it's all about. Essentially, though, I want you to get your own website. I want you to start your own website through Bluehost. And in that affiliate tab, there's a link to Bluehost. Bluehost is the hosting service that hosts this website and podcast, the coffeebreakliberty.com website, and the best podcast there is, this podcast, Coffee Break Liberty Podcast, right? And if you sign up through that link, not only are you going to get a discounted rate for your website, you're going to get great support from Bluehost. They are really good. I've gone to them quite a few times, and they're very helpful. 24/7 support, I might add. I've needed that. But not only are you going to get that great, you know, rate from great service, but also I'm going to give you free advertising on the podcast, the Facebook page, the social medias. You're going to reach thousands of people. I used to call it the Tom Woods deal. I'm now calling it the Leo Sowers deal. It's my deal too. So I'm telling you, go to coffeebreakliberty.com, and in the upper portion of the page, there's that affiliate tab. If you're thinking about starting a website, which you should, everybody should, click on that link, start your website, let me know about it, and I'll know if you did or didn't. I'll know. Let me know about it, and I'll get you that free publicity. So I'm telling you, do it, do it, do it. Another reminder before I sign off, every week, mostly every week, trying to do a live recording on the Coffee Break Liberty Facebook page and on my personal Instagram. So you can join in. Actually, this night, you know, it doesn't happen all the time, but somebody posted on the Instagram and, you know, I answered the question or the comment rather in the show. So you could be a part of the show next week if you jump on in. I try to do it around 9 p.m. Central. I should be doing it next week. I do have a lot of plans Saturday. I may bump it up to a little bit earlier in the evening. We'll see. I'll let you all know on the Facebook page if I do. But keep an eye out, and I'd love to see you guys in the chats and all that and dropping questions and dropping lines. But until then, I'll talk to you guys next week. Take care.